The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
All right. What is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 317. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
All right.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo.
Brett Murdoch.
What's up, party people?
Adam Vale.
What is up, everybody?
And Brian Majoma. Mr. Brian.
Hello, people.
Oh, no. I don't have any witty rapport tonight, for I'm taking care of the Queen Mother over here in bloody London. Actually, Brian would say bloody. He doesn't say bloody. That's how Gary would pronounce it. Always the Queen Mother.
Yeah, Brian is more proper English. Yeah. More proper Queen's English.
Yes, yeah. He pronounces Brian. His words, you know.
Carries bloody.
Yeah. He'll say, it's bloody, it is. You know? You know, Gary be like, oh, it's bloody. Like, bro. Bloody. Like, anyway, man. Yes, okay, throw down.
I'm here now.
Yeah. Oh, there you are, Brian. Hello, Brian.
Hey, guys. Kind of forgot to plug in my mic. So that was quite funny. It's like, I'm speaking. But what's going on? It's like, oh, yeah, there's no light. Like, oh, the mic. Yeah, I'm here, guys.
Brian, I got a question. Do you find the way Londoners speak funny?
Not really. I'm just used to it now.
Okay. You know what I'm talking about, right? Like, for example,
oh, yeah.
you pronounce your words correctly. These motherfuckers, they're cutting everything off, you know?
Well, isn't that at Birmingham? Birmingham.
Well, Brian's originally from Nottingham.
Oh, no. It's just the, like, the London accent. It's just like that. I think it's called, it's not Brummie, that's Birmingham. There's a term for it. There's like a dialect for the type of accent that I mean. Just go watch any Guy Ritchie film, and then
you see what I mean. I worked with a guy who was from Birmingham, and he had that accent. It was like fucking. Sometimes when he would go on a rant, it was hard to understand him. I'm like, whoa.
But no, yeah, that London accent, you catch that shit a mile away. I'm in Manhattan walking, and you're like, oh, yeah, like, oh, Londoner, there you go, and I'm right
he just
every
says,
time,
oi.
You know. Shit, I'm trying to get to Madison Square Garden. I'm like, whoa, okay.
Garden,
you know? Like, yo, there's an R in there somewhere, bro. Just saying.
You listen to rap. Do you like the streets?
You know, or was it Gary has this one song? It's called Out of Order, right? That's not how he says it, though. Out of order. I'm like, bro, those are vowels, man. That's not even words, you know? It's out of order. You know, shout out to Gary, man. Bloody emails. Like, not even bloody, it's just bloody. Like, you're missing words there, man. I'm just saying. Anyway, so we are back. Second episode of the year for the main throwdown. And we have a lot of shit to cover. Fucking.
What?
Like, the game industry just decided to go crazy this week. Which is good for us.
It woke up.
Yeah, last
woke
week
like
we had a fucking
giant.
Yeah, we had to dig around. Like, what happened this week? You know? Yeah, we had to poke it. Like, yeah. Hey, game industry, do something.
Nah, man, we're still crunching.
you guys heard about some gaming website like Tama Crunch? I'm like, yeah. Oh. I'm sorry. Like I said, I crunch all the time, man. That's just the way it is. Gotta make that bread, you know.
Yeah, that's okay. You know what that's called? That's called you know. The working salary or being freelance.
That's exactly what it is. And most game journalists are freelancers. So,
yeah.
You know, that kind of comes with the territory. You know, that's just how it is.
I mean, in a perfect world, yeah, you would, you know, I want fucking overtime. I'd love overtime. And none of the jobs I've ever worked on.
Everybody wants overtime.
Nobody. I mean, it's funny because in the 80s and the 90s, overtime was a thing. But in the 2000s, you know,
that ain't nothing.
None of that. Ain't nothing.
Yeah. All I'm saying is I'm glad I work for an organization where if my editor's on vacation, that means I'm on vacation. So I'm good, you know? All right, man. So let's get into it. Again, a lot of stuff. We got, you know, we had to talk about it, man. You see the featured image. We already know. You already know. Got to talk about it, man, because the topic just won't die, right? So this week, I believe it was yesterday at the time of this recording, CD Projekt Red, one of the heads, I don't know if I can even pronounce this guy's name, you know, Polish names and shit, he officially apologized for the whole Cyberpunk fiasco, did a video on it, it's like a 5-minute video and stuff. Not only did he apologize, but he also talked about the roadmap and all that other good stuff. But, you know, here's my thing. I appreciate the apology, good, but I gotta call bullshit. Just like he tried to make it seem like, oh, we, you know, this game was fine when we looked at it, but we didn't know all these problems. Like you knew. That's why you didn't want people to look at the game before, or you didn't want people to share their own footage. You knew what was up. You know, that's why you withheld, you know, the console versions. Yeah. You know, you knew. Come on, man.
What was that? Yeah, what was that all about? If okay, if they didn't know the problem, then why? Yeah, why would they stop anybody from using any of their own footage? Why would they like Digital Foundry's literally like, oh yeah, we got this. Well, we can't show anything.
I think this is more of what we're hearing with the devs getting death threats and all that stuff. So I think this is more of like, hey, just stop threatening them. Threaten me. Just stop that. Yeah, I did it all. I screwed up.
Oh, you think that's what it is?
Yeah, it sounded a lot like that because a lot of these devs were saying that people have to kill them, threatening them. All
yeah, which is insane. What the? I don't understand why people do that.
This is the age. They threaten everybody now. Everybody's getting threatened to get killed over this dumb shit.
Okay, I realize these guys aren't using logic, but let's work through the logic of this, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
the game is, you know, let's just say, for example, a game's going to get delayed, right? So you threaten to kill the developer. You realize if you kill the developer, the game ain't coming out.
It ain't coming.
So how does that work, you know?
It doesn't.
This case, like, oh, you're threatening developers because the game's broken. You realize that if you kill the developer, no one's going to fix your game. Think it through here, guys. You know?
People don't.
Yeah, well, I don't get what's with the idea of doing any sort of death threats to somebody. Seriously. It's not going to make anything happen quicker. It's not going to get anybody to do it, you know? And again, why threaten a game developer? They're like, they don't make the decision on whether to release a broken game or not. They go out there, they say, hey, listen, boss, this game is not ready to go on anything. And then the boss will just be like, let it go anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, I guarantee you 1,000% the developers knew. And they probably told their heads. The heads don't give a fuck.
And that's what he was saying. He was like, it's all us. It's not the devs. And who knows? Maybe it's also a combination of that. And I'm sure a lot of devs are like, you know what? I'm done. I'm not working on this. I want to go and do another job, go somewhere else. But when they put that down on their resume, oh, Cyberpunk, yo, you worked on this shit. You did that. Oh, you know what I mean? So it's like, hey, no, it wasn't my call. I didn't deal with that. I knew it had some issues. I told the higher-ups, marketing team, and they said, no, we're fucking still shipping this shit. Sorry. But I think it was a combination of that. It was just to help out the devs because he kept pointing that out.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. It's just like just the fact that he tried to make it seem like they had no idea that the game was going to launch. Like, you knew. Come on.
He even said it, though. He said, like, one line. He's like, well, we were really focusing on the PC. That was your problem. Why did you do
that? It was apparent.
You know?
It was apparent, though.
Why did you do that? Just, God damn. If
go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, if that's your case, if you just said it, you're focusing on a PC, then just say, hey, listen, PC one, good to go. Console one, we're going to hold off until when we're ready for that other launch of the PS5 version or the Series X patch, all that. We'll wait till that one comes because we had some issues. But the PC one, sorry, that's good to go because they didn't, and then this is a backfire.
Yeah, and just to jump on that point real quick, right? Let's just say they had, this is speculation right now, let's just say they had released the PC version first without the console version. PC gamers are more forgiving of bugs and crashes and shit than console guys are. So that would have been fine. That wouldn't have been an issue. You know, they would have been okay with that.
They would tweak it and come up with their own mods, which is what they're doing now.
Well, we talked about that last week. Yeah, dudes are fixing the fucking game. You know, but that just bothered me. It's like, again, I'm glad they did the apology, but it's like you're really throwing the developers under the bus here, bro. It's like, that's not a bad call. You know.
Well, no, I mean, he didn't throw that on the bus, but he did fakely just say, "Oh yeah, we, you know, we didn't see the issues." Yeah, he did see the issues.
You fucking
no programmer doesn't know the fuck ups that are with their own programs. Brian can tell you, Carlos can tell you, and Chris can tell you. There is a certain amount of margin of negligible bugs that everything that the programmers know about that they can't fix right away. They'll just let it go, right?
Here's the thing.
What is that called?
There are bugs. You know, when you're a developer and you develop a piece of code, you're always guaranteed to have bugs. Your programs are never going to be 100% bug free. But here's the thing. Whatever state the console versions of these games came out, those weren't bugs. Those were incomplete games. It just looked like, you know, booty, man. So it's like, it's not a bug that's like you can just fix right away. That's it takes a lot of fucking fixes to get that to to be playable and to look decent. So that the whole apology thing, while, you know, it's appreciated and probably 99% of developers would never do something like this, it's still you know, kind of half-hearted. You know, they mean to say the right things and they apologize, but they still won't, you know, just acknowledge the fact that these weren't ready. And it's not like, oh, a day zero patch was going to fix this. A day zero patch was never going to fix any of this. That's just the truth. And how do we know? The day zero patch that released didn't fix this. Hotfix 1 didn't fix this. Hotfix 2 didn't fix this. And we're still waiting on two more patches to be determined whenever the hell they're coming out.
Yeah, the first major one is supposed to be this month, and then the following one February. So we'll see about that, you know?
We will know when it's officially fixed when PlayStation puts it back on the eShop. Yeah. When they put it back, then we'll know.
On that topic, right? Today they posted the top selling games of the first 2 months of on PSN. Cyberpunk was not there. Why? Because it's not even listed on there anymore. You know, they pulled that shit. And that's the other thing he talked about, how the next gen versions of the game will be out at the end or the latter half of 2021. So we're looking at fall at the earliest here. So again, to me, I'm like, that's just further proof of the thing I've been saying. This game should have just been delayed for a year. You know, think about it. From December when the game was launched to, you know, December of this year, right? They're going to be releasing all these patches to fix the game. If you're going to do that anyway, you may as well have just fucking delayed it, you know, and save, you know, the reputation of your company. It's sad.
Release the PC version at least.
Yeah. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, it was a poor strategic move to either you satisfy your customers, you decide who you satisfy more, right? Your investors or your customers. So this decision was probably purely based on, we had set an expectation to our investors that we need to release this product, right? And they pushed it out the door. What, like Carlos said, this was incomplete. It's not even bugs. It's just not finished. It's not polished. Tony made the point this should just have been put on the next gen after they saw it. Because games like this, they have internal reviews probably every week showing the builds, showing how it looks and whatever. That it can't perform on PS4 and Xbox One should have set off red flags. It should have said, fuck it, mothball this version, push the other one out, and we'll release it on PS5 and Series X exclusive. We can't make this happen, instead of embarrassing themselves. But because they went into board meetings or whatever and set expectations with investors, you can't now tell them, hey, we're not doing this, we're pushing this game out a year, we're not releasing on the last gen systems, because all those guys see is you're losing out on an install base of 150 plus million people, potential sales, and they're not going to understand why you're doing it. Just like, well, hurry up and fix it, mash the keyboard faster, and make it work.
Yeah.
Right. So that was a poor strategic decision, because you lost customer faith. Now you put out a broken product, people are very upset. And nobody's going to have trust in you after that. You do not have the legacy of other companies like Bethesda or whatever, where you could falter a few times, and but you have some forgiveness, you have some leeway. Like, okay, there's a cadence, and then you fix it, and whatever. This was their flagship title. It's been years and years they've been building up hype, and they totally dropped the ball, and now people end up with a broken game. Some people's experience worse than others. For some people, it's just unplayable. A lot of people requested refunds. This is the only game to ever be pulled back by Sony off the store in history. So that's not a good look. So going forward, yeah, maybe you made your investors happy. Maybe you met some sort of quota. But let me tell you, going forward, whatever you put out, Witcher 4, or whatever your next game is, people are going to remember this. And they're going to be very reluctant. Pre-orders, you can forget about it. Unless people forget this, or you get new people just getting suckered into pre-ordering your next game, a lot of people are going to wait and see. And that's not going to be good for you, you know, come the next game, whenever that is.
Yeah. And that's what I said. I've said numerous times. It's like they went for the quick money injection, the 13 million sold, instead of like the long game where they could have sold 50 million or more over the course of the entire generation, just like they did with The Witcher 3. That's squandered. This game is not, unless there's some kind of miracle that is No Man's Sky type of miracle, Final Fantasy 14 Realm Reborn type of miracle, it's going to be tough, man. You know, and I don't know if I've ever, you know, correct me if I'm wrong here, I've never seen a single player game come back from the brink like this. Multiplayer, sure. Unless the multiplayer of this thing saves it somehow, you know?
Avengers kind of went, you know, was a good example of not coming back. I mean, once that, you know, it did its initial shot in the arm, and then it just fell off because it was nothing there.
Yeah, and that game has multiplayer, you know, but...
And that game has multiplayer, but that's a whole other story.
That game was just trash, you know? At least Cyberpunk is good underneath all the bugs and shit. Avengers is a bad game overall, you know? Anyway, Brian, get in here, man. I want to get your thoughts as the resident CD Projekt Red fan of Throwdown.
Again, you have pretty much said everything that I could say, so there's nothing really much left for me to say. It does, again, they issued the apology. I kind of half understand what they meant by when they were doing their tests, like the issues didn't pop up, which I can understand. It just means that the testing strategy was either not good enough, or they just don't want to see the issues and thought that it was acceptable. So again, I'm kind of like, okay, I can see where you're coming from, but I still don't like it that was a state that it should have come out. I'm in the same boat as Tony here. Like, this game should have been delayed more, and at worst case, should have just not been on previous gen consoles, because it's just having severe issues just working on that. But in terms of apology, I think it's quite good that they issued an apology. They said, "Hey, you know, we are sorry." Like, they actually put a face to the name rather than just a blank statement on Twitter saying, "Hey, here are some disingenuous words that we'll throw out, and you guys should be quiet now." It's like, no, they actually said, okay,
that's the one thing. That's the one thing I've been saying for a lot of places, where they just sort of release these cold, disembodied, you know, terms like, you know, we are with you, or we are very sorry about what we've done. To be honest, it's good to have a face on there.
You know? Yeah, they put a face. They put a face on this instead of a token text on a yellow background.
Yeah, you know? Like they've been known for, like our feature image.
Yes. but yeah, no, it's definitely good, because usually you just get these. It's not even disembodied voices, just disembodied text. You know, we're sorry, yeah. We're with you. You're not with me. Fuck out of here. You know. And obviously you are sorry. And Chris, here's one thing I wanted to bring up with you, because I just find it hilarious how they jumped the gun, shipped this game out to appease their investors, and now the investors are suing them. So was it all for in the end? You know, what this reminds me of? The season 8 of Game of Thrones. This is going to make sense, right? The writers were like, okay, we need to finish this up fast, because we're going to go write the new Star Wars movie. But Game of Thrones did so bad, now they're off the Star Wars movie. So it's like, right. What was it all for in the end? Why are you rushing it? You know?
Well, there was another miscalculation in the strategy too, and they didn't account for how the Rona screwed up everything. Yeah. Around it, so you would have had quite a bit of Series X and PS5 in the market. Wouldn't have this bullshit with the scalpers and stuff, because there would have been more product out there for people to purchase. So the install base for PS5 and Xbox would have been higher at this point when they decided, hey, we're going to just put it out there. And they were hoping that that would have mitigated some of this disaster, that having those consoles out and counting on more people just playing the PS4 version on PS5 would have mitigated some of the issues they were seeing, and they would have gained some leeway from that. That didn't happen. A lot of people just played it on their vanilla systems, and it ran like trash, and it just looked worse. So that was something they didn't account for. It should have been obvious. Like, it wasn't like Rona just happened in the fall, right? The whole year of it.
Yeah.
You realize that China was screwed over too. Production was slowed down and everything. It affected every company. It should have been like, wow, we're not in a situation where we're going to gain some leeway from people having the better systems in their house, and maybe some of these bugs will get mitigated by the powerful hardware. You didn't have that. And that should have been red flag, but they went full steam ahead and they just went right off a cliff. Like, you pissed off your customers, and now your investors are getting lawyers. So yeah, that's not good.
And also, it's important to mention that this game was delayed post Rona once. So there was a precedent there where they had to delay the game. If you want to look, here's my thing. If you want to blame the fucking Rona on whatever problems you have, then fucking delay the game until this shit is ready. Don't blame the Rona before on the first freaking postponement, and don't blame the Rona after when your game isn't ready. You know? So if you know the Rona was something that was hampering your game before, don't come and say it was hampering your game after, when it wasn't ready, but you still decided to release this thing. It's
sure. Well, they can't use that excuse anyway, because it's been in development too many years for then this last leg to be like, oh, coronavirus screwed up our development. Nah, you can't lead on that. That would be a bridge too far. And they were just, all these delays was just kicking the can down the road. It's like, okay, maybe if we push it 3 months, we'll mitigate some flaws and create a plan. Where, you know, it's just wish casting. You kick the can down the road a little bit, and you're like, ah, we'll just kick it far enough that we can release at the end of the year. And then, but you still had disaster. What they knew full well, they should have delayed it a year. But they kept kicking the can 2 months, 3 months. Guys, it'll be ready. It wasn't ready. They knew full damn well it wasn't ready.
Yeah, hence why they tried to have, or they tried to hide the actual footage of the game, you know, which is really bad. And I've talked about it before too, when you have prominent guys, specifically Paris Lilly, who was the face of the game, he didn't get his code until the day before launch. That lets you know right there something fishy was going on. You know, they were not confident in their game. Think about it like this, right? Look at The Last of Us 2. Reviewers got that game 2 weeks beforehand, finished, because Sony knew, okay, this thing's done. We're good to go. You know, when reviewers get their games early, the developer has confidence in it. In this case, when they released it pretty much at the last minute, you already knew what was up. You know, you're muted, man.
Or when they pull a little thing where they say, oh, you know, the embargo is literally the day of or the day after the game goes on sale for reviews.
I forgot. Was it Assassin's Creed Unity, I believe it was? That was like the day, like, it was like 12 hours after the game launched that the embargo lifted. And even the reviewers were pissed, and they told customers, like, yo, we wanted to warn you guys, but they wouldn't let us, you know?
Hey, man.
There's a good example. They knew the game was broken. They knew that Assassin's Creed Unity was not running. Was it Unity or was it Syndicate?
No, it was Unity.
No, it was Unity. Unity.
Yeah. Yeah, they knew Assassin's Creed Unity wasn't working right, so they just said, "All right, just put the embargo after the release date."
Yeah, man, fucked up. All right, any last thoughts on this?
Patronizing.
What happened, Brett?
Dude, I found the whole apology patronizing. Like, there's no excuse for saying that you don't know what's going on in your company or that you weren't aware. Like, honestly, there's no excuse for any of the things that led to what the state that it released in. As Brian said, like, maybe it's, you know, their testing process is faulty. But to come out and give any kind of statement other than we fucked up, we take full responsibility, just seems a little weird to me. Like, I understand that the statement does take responsibility, but it's framed in a way, there's no other way to put it than like patronizing. Like, I'm not a fucking idiot. Don't just come down and be like, hey, we're really sorry. We had no idea that this was like this. We value our customers, and if we had known, then, you know, we wouldn't have done it like this. Like, yeah, you would. And you, the guy talking, the co-founder, who's fucking in charge at the steering wheel, you know most of all. You're the one that made these poor decisions. When we talk about running out of the Bible, it is his fault. You're the one that fucking made these decisions. And bullshit that you didn't know that the game was in this state, because the developers, the actual people on the ground floor, were fucking telling you. So there's nothing to do here but admit incompetence or greed, and honestly, he didn't either. Like, I don't see how this was fucking helpful. Because at the end of the day, there's not an excuse. So don't try and tell me how sorry you are. Tell me what you're going to do to make it right. And they've already kind of done that, the best that they can at least, by saying, you know, here's when our patches come out. So honestly, this is just one of those, there's not really a lot you can do with an apology other than insult someone situations. Maybe I'm alone in that, but the whole thing just kind of seemed to be like them going, we're cool, right? To which I'm like, no, you can't just do that. My bad. We cool, right? No, fix it. I will possibly forgive you when you fix it. I'll go back to games that were broken. I played fucking No Man's Sky, but don't tell me about it. Don't broadcast it. That was your fucking problem with the game, is you broadcast every move well before it was ready, not understanding that people are impatient. So yeah, like, you make it sound like, oh, we're on this, but, you know, we're not getting the next gen versions of the game still for, you know, until the next the later half of this year. So every indication points that it needed more time. Every indication points that you needed it done. Every indication points that we were greedy and thought gamers were stupid. And a statement like this doesn't help that latter one.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's like, guy, come on, guy. Like, you really think we're going to believe this stuff again? I'm glad you apologized, but it's bullshit. I'm sorry. It is bullshit. I'm sorry. Fuck that.
How dumb do you think I am?
That's what I'm saying. Come on, bro. Come on. All right. Let's move on. All right. Now we're going to take you back a little bit. Back to
take it back. Take it back.
We're going to run through these stories in chronological order as they happen, because they're all tied together. All right. So on Monday, we had the announcement that Lucasfilm Games was being announced, which is funny because if you go back a couple of years, it was LucasArts, right? That was the entity that released all the Lucas type of games and some other stuff, obviously. But before that, it was called Lucasfilm Games. Right. So we're back around in a circle. So basically what's happening is Lucasfilm Games is going to unite all the Star Wars games under one banner. And people were speculating, like, hey, does this mean that the EA exclusivity thing may not happen? So put a pin on that. We'll get back to that story in a little bit.
So another part of it, LucasArts was actually closed around the time Epic Mickey came out, like not far after that. You know, the pretty much when Disney made the acquisition, or actually bought, Lucasfilm, they liquidated that portion of it. They also liquidated any of their other game divisions. So Disney also had their own game division, which they killed too.
Yeah. Piggy Dan says, I hate sand. It gets everywhere.
It does get everywhere.
So that happened. Lucasfilm Games, Star Wars, all that. So that happened on Monday, right? Then Tuesday, wake up. We come to find out that Bethesda, of all companies, is working on a new Indiana Jones game, obviously being published by, you know, within conjunction with Lucasfilm Games, right? As we talked about. And the big question in the air surrounding that one is, is this going to be an exclusive? Bethesda, right? That's the question. But this is what I think is going to happen. I could be wrong, but this is what I think. Obviously, the big games that are made by Bethesda themselves, those are going to be exclusive. Elder Scrolls 6, fucking Fallout 5, right? That's going to be exclusive. This one, since it's Lucasfilm Games, and again, exclusivity, keep that in mind for the next segment, they could put their games wherever they want. They're not beholden to whatever deal Bethesda made. So it's possible the Indiana Jones game could be multi-platform. By the way, that's literally all we know about the Indiana Jones game. We don't know anything about the gameplay, nothing. Machine Games, the people who make Wolfenstein, I believe, they're the ones working on it, right? They're actually making the game. But yeah, new Indiana Jones. I don't remember the last time we had an Indiana Jones game. I think it was a PS2 era, maybe. Like
Uncharted 4?
Yeah, you know. By the way, I have something to say about that. Here's the thing. Yes, Indiana Jones is an action character, but Nathan Drake is way more action-y than Indiana Jones. So I don't think the game should be that much comparable. You know what I'm saying? I don't think they're going to go down the Uncharted ride exactly. Here's the thing. There's going to be some overlay, obviously, because Uncharted was inspired by Indiana Jones, which actually Uncharted was inspired by Tomb Raider, which was inspired by Indiana Jones, you know? But, you know, I don't want to speculate on the game because we do not have enough information. But, of course, you know, on Twitter, got to talk about Twitter. The fanboys, man. Fanboys went fucking crazy, right?
But do you want a first-person shooter version? Do you want an FPS version?
I wanted third-person, to be honest.
That's what I'm saying. Me too.
We don't know what the kind of game. But anyway, so the fanboys, Xbox side, yeah, we got a new Indiana Jones game coming, you motherfuckers. Yeah, we got it. The place, guys, fuck Indiana Jones, man. We don't even like those type of games. Mm-hmm. Like, you like Uncharted, though, right? So that was kind of interesting.
I definitely think, though, it would be a serious feather in Microsoft's hat if that game was exclusive, kind of like the way Spider-Man was.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, I think it's going to be multi-plat, but I would like it if it was exclusive, you know. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it doesn't bother me because I got all the system. I don't give a fuck, you know.
You play that thing on Windows or whatever.
The point is, I think, you know, again, because I'm trying to be objective about it, that would be a really good get for Microsoft. Mm-hmm. They need that. Yeah. They need something. You know, they don't have anything at the moment.
Say it, Adam.
Something.
Gotta have something.
Hey, you know. So interesting. We don't know when the hell this game's coming out. Nothing. All we know is it's coming. That's it. You know. And then of course go ahead, Adam.
I said that's what he said.
Yeah. This all culminated with the announcement that Ubisoft, out of all people, is making an open world Star Wars game. Right. So the EA exclusivity is done. EA will still make Star Wars games. They immediately announced, like, yeah, we're still making these games, right? So fingers crossed for Fallen Order too. So right there, that lets you know, it's like, all right, and the game's being developed by Adams's favorite developer, Massive, The Division.
Yeah, The Division folk. That's going to be that. They probably said, listen, we already have the engine that can do this. We just got to take the pieces out like a toy box, put the other ones in. There we go. You ready?
It'll be Republic Commando 2.
Oh, my God. I would love that.
Probably, yeah. I could see that.
So the thing, you know, okay, so like one thing I think, I'm not sure if I said this before, but what Lucasfilm's games is essentially what like Marvel games is, where it's essentially a licensing branch of the company, which essentially says, okay, you know, you're going to do this. How much do you want to pay? You know, like they're essentially these companies are paying for the license to make these games. And they're the ones that are sort of like oversee it, as opposed to just being like, they do whatever they want. See, that's the other thing. That's the other thing about Marvel games. They also look over the titles to make sure that they're, you know, they make sense within the Marvel universe, right? The Avengers game, as much as people didn't really care that much for it, it still was very faithful to the Marvel world. And I think that's what they're going to sort of have at the Lucasfilms games department, where essentially they just have their guys look over it and be like, okay, what's this game you're going to be doing here?
Yeah. You know what? I just realized something, man. Mm-hmm. This is something that Carlos says all the time with the prediction. Even though I didn't predict this, I kind of remember when EA got the license for Star Wars. That's how long Throwdown has been around, by the way. We were there to cover that. I said that it makes sense that they went with EA because the only other studios they could get to do a Star Wars game right would be Ubisoft or Activision. So there you go. And just on that, I think it's good that we're going to see Star Wars games from different studios because you know, how long have the EA had the fucking license since like 2012, 2013? What did we get? We got two Battlefront games, one of which was such a, you know, colossal controversy that it had Congress jump in because of loot boxes. We had the Star Wars Squadron game, which came and went. Nobody even talks about that. The game came out last year. No one even cares. You know,
I mean, it didn't look that bad.
It looked good, but nobody. It's a fucking flight sim game. Nobody cares about that. You know, some guys do. You know, the Microsoft flight sim guys. But you know, the only game they made that was good and a success was Fallen Order. That's it. You know, and why is that? Because they had Respawn doing it. They're fucking golden developer over there. You know.
By the way, it takes the Star Wars branding for people to realize that Respawn can develop really good games.
Yeah, right. But it's funny, like, yo, they have three good games in a row. You know, and I'm even saying that about Apex Legends. I don't like battle royale games, but that's a well done battle royale game, right? But you had Titanfall 2, you got Jedi Fallen Order, you have Apex Legends. Respawn does their thing, you know. And, of course, you know, got to give a shout-out to my boy Stig Asmussen, you know, developer of God of War 3. He was the developer of, you know, Fallen Order, which makes him like, oh, it has that Stig DNA in there, you know. So, good stuff, man.
He was the environment designer on the previous God of War games, God of War 1, 2, and then 3. He took over as the director. The
director, yeah. So, he was the director. So, yeah, I think Ubisoft, you know, hopefully they don't turn it into a big fucking looter shooter type of game. That's my only fear. Don't go down that right. The engine you have for The Division is dope. You can have a lot of cool tech in there and shit. But I just hope, and by the way, do not even think this game's coming out anytime soon. Just get that idea out of your head right now. The game probably coming for another 2 or 3 years, you know.
I wonder if Amy and Henning can, you know, being that EA kind of nixed her game, if she can take that idea somewhere else to one of the other studios that are making a Star Wars game.
Yeah, right. Yeah, oh, right. Shit. Yeah, get fucking Ubisoft to hire.
Maybe Ubisoft needs to make a 1313.
Oh shit, that'd be crazy. And I kind of, in a weird way, find Fallen Order a little bit of a spiritual successor, 1313, even though it has Jedi's. Like 1313 was supposed to be like a regular bounty hunter type of dude, you know?
But it's supposed to be like Boba Fett or something. Well, the Mandalorian kind of almost. Well,
that would be smart, by the way. My only question is, like, what do you mean open world, right? Because, like, are you going to be on a single planet the entire time, or are we talking open galaxy? Because that's a different story, you know.
I guess that depends on the developer. It's like who do you trust to make more like different worlds and stuff, and as opposed to someone that's just more grounded in one area.
Yeah, because I mean, you know, Massive has proven that they know how to make open world games. You know, they did a really good representation of New York. They did one of DC, right, Washington DC, for the Division game. So they have the pedigree. But I'm just wondering. And then, of course, if it's open galaxy, I'm doing air quotes for you guys listening. If it's open galaxy, is that really open world then? Because it's hub worlds then. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But at the same time, okay, this game's not coming out for another couple of years. That means it's going to be current gen only. So maybe they could pull something crazy like that off, where you effectively have like six open world games in one, you know, with like six different worlds. Fuck, that'd be crazy, you know? Which already is giving me a headache thinking about it. It's like Valhalla was already too fucking big. Jesus Christ. You know? I don't imagine reviewing that fucking game.
Going back to the Microsoft Bethesda one. I don't, unless Microsoft is paying to develop this game, I don't see it being an exclusive.
Indiana Jones game, right?
Indiana Jones game, yeah. Because you're making the parallels with Spider-Man, but isn't Spider-Man the game rights? Isn't that Sony's?
Yeah. By the way, I'm glad you brought that up, because people were saying, because of Spider-Man, that means it's going to be exclusive. That's not a good one-to-one.
No, it's not.
At all. Yeah. That's not a one-to-one at all. It's a totally different thing. You know. And by the way, no, Sony does not own the rights to Spider-Man. They own the movie rights to Spider-Man. That's it, you know?
Yeah. So they don't own the game rights, right?
No, they bought the rights for this game, you know, but that's it. They don't own the game rights specifically, you know. Maybe they did, but they bought them.
I thought they owned the character. Any video game, which is why they couldn't put that in the Avengers for the Xbox.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't know that particular deal. It could be that Sony bought the rights for the video game of Spider-Man, but they don't own the character, right?
No, Disney owns the comics.
Yeah, Disney owns the comics. Just like when you see the, like, you know, if there's an X-Men cartoon show, Spider-Man could pop up there all he wants, you know? They don't own the rights to that. But yeah, no, you're right about that. I think, the question is, would Microsoft be willing to pay for Indiana Jones? Indiana Jones, big license, but it's not as big as Spider-Man, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, and seeing how Disney and Lucasfilm is making all these announcements, it just seems like they just, you know, got their developer of choosing saying, hey, make this game, make this game, make this game. I don't think if Microsoft would have released this as an exclusive, I think this would have been, no pun intended, an initiative from Microsoft. It looks like it was more of an initiative from Lucasfilm.
I agree. So, one thing to note, make of this what you will, by the way, Sony didn't say a single thing. They didn't make an announcement at all. But at the same time, Microsoft could have the exclusive rights for the announcement. I don't know. But Sony didn't say anything, which is kind of interesting. Because usually, even if, like, during E3, you see this, right? Like, you'll have a game announced, for example, at the Microsoft conference, but then later on, Sony will be like, yo, it's coming to our system, too. Nothing like that.
Yo, man. Yo, I'm about to fuck you up.
Uh-oh.
Imagine Sucker Punch doing a Mandalorian game.
That'd be so good. I hope you've
caught my interest.
Yes. Oh, that'd be good. I really hope. Yo, Ubisoft, man, just saying Mandalorian, son, just saying.
With the infamous games they've made, they can do like the whole jetpack kind of traversal, you know, they...
Oh, yeah.
Man.
Forget Infamous. You didn't point out Ghost of Tsushima, man?
Oh, well, Ghost of Tsushima is the prime example.
The lightsaber battles, man.
That's how I got your... That's how I got your interest. I'm serving you dinner right now.
But if they did that, and then you had... because, like, Massive is good with the open world, right? They proved it with Division. But the fighting and stuff, Sucker Punch wins. And I can imagine, like, you pick different classes of character, right? You could be, like, if you want to be a Jedi or a Sith or a privateer, kind of like Han Solo, a smuggler. Or you're a Mandalorian, right? And then you have certain perks and certain buffs and, you know, different weapons you can and can't use. Like, you can't... If you're a smuggler, you're not going to pick up a lightsaber and go use it, right? You can't use that shit. You have to use guns.
Yeah.
But if you're a Jedi, you're just using the Force and shit. You're like whooping everyone's ass. That'd be great. Or maybe you can play as a droid.
Yeah, Massive could go hard. You know, they could do a... And by the way, I really do think they probably will do some kind of big online game. I think that's the
shooter.
Hey, yeah,
shooter for sure. Yeah, it's gonna be a shooter game.
You know, with a lot of content that constantly keeps updated. Think about it, because the Division is not really that hot right now. Maybe this will replace a Division for them. Who knows? You know, we shall see.
Yo, you see, there you go. Remember when we said something off air about things that we stand by, and you were like, "Oh, you do a quote?" No, it's the Division.
Yeah. Oh, I'm okay. Yeah, yeah, there you go. Yeah, everybody has that one game, man.
Everybody, that is my game. That goes above all the others.
Damn, even Gears?
Now I want to play even Gears.
Wow, you got it. Where's that Division tattoo?
I think about
Yo, that remove tattoo. That tattoo.
When I go to, no, the Division tattoo is supposed to go, once I get to go see Brett.
Oh, shit. You're going to have that. Where you going to get that put, Adam?
I probably want to put it over like somewhere where my chest, where I have the big fucking my two screws, aka X's, that are on my chest.
Oh,
probably
shit.
Do something in between, because I have, you know, the ones here.
Yeah.
So, and that fucking guy, he's fucking shit, man. Whatever, that's a whole other story. But yeah, I gotta figure it out. But man, that's every time I think about the Division, I want to play it. That's how I know. That's when you know when there's a certain game when you think about it, like, shit, I need to play it. You said it, now I'm thinking about playing it.
Damn, it's like that.
So you're a massive fan?
Yeah, you're a massive fan.
They just announced it as Massive, though, so maybe they dropped the entertainment part.
Yeah, oh, shit. But there you go. So we'll be getting new Star Wars games from different developers this generation. So it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see.
Waiting for that Emperor Simulator game. Yes, good.
Yeah, strike him down with all of your hatred. You know,
you're not from a Jedi.
I'm ready for another Starkiller game.
Ooh, that'd be interesting.
Who made that one originally?
That was LucasArts.
No, but I mean, yeah. Like, was it them?
Yeah, it was Lucas. So there was their own internal company that did it.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like Activision or something.
No, it was them.
The Force Unleashed, right?
Hmm? Yes. Yeah,
I did not like those games. Yeah, LucasArts. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Publisher, LucasArts and THQ. Well, that's for the mobile version. Yeah, LucasArts, all LucasArts. There you go.
Yeah. I wasn't a fan of those, yeah. But it was fun for a little bit, but then I stopped playing. I remember getting all hyped for it. I pre-ordered it. I played it for like 2 hours, and I was like, wow, that wasn't for me.
Yeah, I'm not going to get to that. But here's the thing. I'll say I like the story of the first game, right? But I like the gameplay of the second game. I'm like, I wish you could have just melded them together somehow, you know? Because the story was dope, you know? By the way, I kind of find it funny how, like, a couple years later, or a few years later, you had Starkiller as the star of Days Gone. So I'm like, hey, it's the same actor.
A few years later.
Yeah, just like you see Broyles, you know, he shows up in all these video games.
Yes, what am I doing here?
even if you don't see him, you hear his voice. Like, hey, that's Broyles.
Well, isn't he in? He's in Dead Space, isn't he?
Yeah, he Broyles? Is. Yeah, and it looks yeah, like him.
And,
yeah,
and he looks and like himself.
He's in Horizon. As
he's in Horizon.
Yeah, he's in Horizon himself. Zero Dawn as himself. Yeah, I don't know the actor's real name, but if you watch
Broyles.
Yeah, if you watch Friends, you know who Broyles is. You know that guy's yeah. he's in the division. He's in whatchamacallit, not division. John? But he's in Destiny. Well, Destiny 2 doesn't look like him, but it's obviously him. You know,
he's also in John Wick. He's the proprietor of that hotel.
Yo, man, they don't make no John Wick games.
Oh yeah, they make John Wick games.
Oh, they got him? Where?
The Deadwood?
What, a mobile game or like an actual game?
Oh no,
they have, is that what you're talking about?
I know they made one recently, but did I don't they? Know if it's on there. But I don't think it was very good. Yeah,
that went under the radar, man.
Yeah, I was about to say, no, I don't think everybody heard of that shit.
No, it came out, but I don't think anybody liked it.
Yeah. You ever, by the way, this is a complete non sequitur, but since you brought it up, you notice how movie tie-in games have been relegated to just mobile?
Yeah, because they're easy to produce.
Yeah.
And
quick.
They're easy to produce. And the thing is that the budget, you know, like, especially when all of your budget is, a lot of your budget is going toward the actual license, you don't want to spend a lot of money on that game.
So there's a game called John Wick Hex. The fuck yep. is that? It's a mobile game. There you go.
It's
PlayStation
it's
4. Okay.
Republic. It's the people that did that Republica, the one that this guy liked.
Oh, no wonder Manny knows about him.
That Manny liked
him.
Yeah.
Me? Oh, I didn't
know. No. BitHell Games? That's not who made
That's not Republic. Them. That's not
them. Yeah. It's that type of game, though.
Oh, okay.
That type of game. That
so it came out on Windows, Mac, PS4, like Xbox,
a year
and Switch.
Or two ago, yeah.
Yeah, it came out. Yeah, it came out last year, actually, May. Interesting. Anyway,
it's a movie tie-in game. It's not going to be very good.
Yeah, no one's going to. Yeah. By the way, speaking about movie tie-in games, man, I'll talk about this later. Scott Pilgrim versus the World, the game. Good stuff.
Ooh.
It's back, baby. All right, let's move on. Here's just some like smaller stories that happened. This one, I got to open this up because I didn't read the full list. So Sony, they released a video. I don't even know what the fuck the video was about. But at the end of it, they actually listed a bunch of their upcoming games with release dates, believe it or not, or release windows.
Was this part of CES?
Yeah. By the way, I asked you guys beforehand, did anything happen during CES that we should cover here? Because
I mean, other than the graphics card stuff, but I mean,
All right. So
that's probably the most gaming thing.
Yeah. So here's what we have. I wish I could put the graphic up for you guys. Whatever. Just look at my face. All right. Ratchet and Clank coming 2021. So we don't have a date for that. For Horizon, okay. Horizon Forbidden West coming 2021. Returnal coming, Returnal March 19th, 2021. There you go. By the way, I don't need to say 2021. Actually, no, I do need to do the date for of these. What's up?
Wasn't Ratchet and Clank slated for like spring, like this year?
Actually, they never said.
I'm sorry.
That's what we speculated.
Yeah, I kind of always assumed it was going to be early 2021.
We didn't actually know. We just assumed that. All right, so Returnal March 19th, Pragmata coming 2023. Goddamn. Okay. Solar Ash June 2021. Kena, March 2021. Stray, October 2021. Ghostwire Tokyo, October 21. A lot of games in October. Little Devil Inside, July 2021. Project Athia, January 2022. And Hitman 3, 2021, this month, January. I think it's coming out next week, actually.
Yeah, it's coming out real soon.
I heard you sighing about Project Athia.
Too long away.
Yeah. What was Project Athia again?
That's that game that looked like a Square
Enix. Wait. I love how Brent is complaining that a game is too far away, but yet he was complaining that Cyberpunk was rushed out.
Oh, no, I'm not complaining they should push it. I'm just complaining I want it to be hurry there.
Whatever you want to hear.
I'm excited. Brett. Let me be excited.
Dear Lord, Brett, just wait until it's done.
I want it now. Like Boruto.
No, I don't want it now. I'm excited for it to come.
I want it now.
I just wish they would announce them later. Can they announce them later, please? That would solve everything.
That is true. By the way, Manny, you're right. This is from CES, yeah.
The CES thing? Oh, yeah, it's funny because I watched that CES thing and it had your boy there. You know,
hip hop gamer. Thing.
What was that?
Hip hop gamer.
If your boy, the one that you like to blame for everything that goes on with Sony.
Oh, Jim Ryan, our boy.
Yeah, your boy Jim Ryan was there. Like he's like, we've got a lot of games coming in the future on the PlayStation 5 console that no one ever has. He didn't actually say that, by the way. We're gonna get those scalpers.
Yeah. All right. So there you go. Some upcoming games, which
Horizon, the Forbidden Wild is literally coming, when?
No, 2021. That's all they said.
Well, they didn't say 21. Okay, some of them actually had real dates. Some of them actually had real dates.
Yeah, some of them have real dates. Actually, let me pull that up. I'll tell you who actually has real dates. By the way, God of War is not listed.
I was just
about to ask. Oh, yeah, it's not coming out this year.
No, the reason I say that is because if you see the God of War trailer that Sony put out, it says 2021. The trailer says that. Really?
I don't know.
That's what the trailer says, man. I don't fucking believe it.
Maybe it's coming. Maybe the next trailer's coming 2021. Yeah.
Brian,
that game coming out next year. I really doubt it's coming out this year.
And Brian, every single God of War game has been delayed, man. Every single one of them.
Mm-hmm. Because again, they have not said anything about the game. Like at least for Thingy 2, they have something. They have like a trailer for it. It's out there. Whereas for God of War, there was no trailer, no window, just a year. So yeah, so that's one of those games that, hey, let's put a year on it and then delay it.
Yeah, I agree. They pulled a Metroid with that shit. It's just a logo.
Oh my gosh, Metroid Prime 4.
Okay, so Returnal, that has a solid release date, March 19th. Shit, that's the only one with a real... I mean, there's other ones with just, you know, a month, but that's the only one with a solid release date, Returnal. That's the House Mark game.
Oh, that's the one by... Oh, yeah, yeah, that's the one with the blonde-haired lady.
Yeah, the astronaut woman.
Okay. I swear, man, like, some of these next-gen titles, or current-gen titles, you want to call, they just have these utterly forgettable names.
Yeah.
Returnal?
The thing is, the name makes sense because you're immortal, you return, you know, Returnal.
Yeah, I get it. I get it, Returnal. But at the same time, I just totally, whenever that name is mentioned, I totally blank on whatever the game looked like.
Something interesting about the game, it's going to cost $70. Like, this company has never released $70 type of games or $60 type of games. Mm. I don't know, bro. I don't know.
Who's the developer?
Housemarque.
Who's
the developer? The Resogun guys.
Huh.
Oh, okay, yeah. They haven't done a game that
Resogun Starlight HD or whatever, Stardust HD.
So does that mean that Resogun is filled with the voxels everywhere? It's a fully voxel built game.
Oh, Returnal, it might be. You know, who knows? By the way,
that would make Brett happy.
Yeah, the one I find funny here is Pragmata. 2023. Why even bother? You know, why even bother listing this shit?
Let me look at that one again, because. I don't even that one's another one. I don't know what that looked like.
Yeah,
that was the one that looked like Dead Space, like with the guy in the spacesuit and then the girl and then on the moon.
Oh no, yeah, the one that was that's the Capcom game, right?
Is it?
Yeah, it's the one. It's the Capcom game where they're like he's walking around in a city with, and then there's like this weird VR.
That the game
girl
that reminded me of Death Stranding.
Yeah, it was like a little.
Yeah, it is a Capcom. Yep, there it is.
Yeah, it's a Capcom game. Okay. Now I remember the visuals, but I didn't remember the name of that shit.
Yeah. By the way, speaking about Capcom, we'll talk about this next week. Thankfully, the announcement is coming on Thursday. Chris, man, Resident Evil 8. We're going to be getting a lot of stuff for it next week.
Get ready. Oh, yeah, man. I saw that teaser. I'm like, give it to me now.
By the way, I'm going to say this about Pragmata. I'm not going to believe anything that Capcom says about any sort of games. You know why? There's a certain game called Deep Down that was meant for the PlayStation 4 that hasn't come out yet.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, what's going on, Capcom?
Don't be like, surprised. This is Deep
Down. This is Deep Down.
Yeah, imagine that.
That is Deep Down. There you go, man. That name was properly named. It's like Deep Down. It's like it's deep down in your memory. You don't remember that shit, you know?
It's going to need two generations to develop.
You know? Fucking crazy. All right, so we got that. And then we have this one I have to throw in here just to make a point, people. All right, so also during CES, it was announced that Google Stadia and GeForce Now apps are going to be coming to 2021 LG TVs. What have we been telling you guys? That future TVs will have game apps built into them. You know, so
by the way,
yeah,
Tony,
yo, what up,
Tony, not just 2021 TVs,
2020 TVs, son.
Let's go, Mike.
So, but if you buy a 2021 TV, you're good to go. But you know, us, we'll have to install the apps. But there you go. And Carlos, you know, what have we been saying about Xbox, man? Watch one day you can have the Xbox
app. Game Pass.
Yep, yeah, I'm telling you, man.
It's funny though that they're doing this when Sony already had this already going.
Yeah,
this Sony had this back whenever what was it when they started doing PlayStation Now, they actually had that thing happen. The only thing, my mom had bought a TV and it had literally the PlayStation Now app in it. So you know back when it was a long time ago. So it's like okay, so. No, Sony. What'd you do?
And Sony wasn't even the first one. It was that other one. OnLive had it first.
Mm-hmm. They had this shit on TV.
Okay. Yeah, everything. Because I had a friend of mine who was like, "Yo, I got that OnLive." I'm like, "What do you mean, buddy? It's on my TV, son. Do I play this shit?" I'm like, "No one wants this." And then, sure enough,
well, they do now, Adam. Everybody. They do now. You know,
they do now. But it was because of the game collection. It just didn't have it. Now it does. Now,
by the way, ironically enough, if you guys want to play a good version of Cyberpunk, play the Gate Stadia version. Ain't that something?
Play the Stadia version, or was it the Google one?
Yeah, the GeForce Now. Yeah, the GeForce Now was legit because it has ray tracing on it and everything. You know.
Yeah. So the only thing you need to wait for is a space to kind of because I forgot. Well, you're essentially connecting to a server, essentially another computer. So you have to kind of wait in line.
Yeah, I've reviewed both of them. It does not take that long at all, man. It is super fast. You know, Xbox Project X Cloud, as it was named back then, that was slow, but it got better as time went on. But yeah, we've been telling you guys. So there you go. You know.
Well, now here's the thing.
Like, I mean, I could just put my GeForce now through my TV. Then you know.
Yeah, you can play it through your TV, and now it's like, you know, as I always say. It, you know, put it there for what these sorts of things are looking for. They're not looking for the gamer. They're looking for the regular person. Yes. Hey, this is on my thing. Hey, might as well test it out. That's what they're looking for.
Yeah. And all you need is a controller. Just buy a controller and you're good to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and think about it. Most people already have consoles in their homes anyway. Just grab one of your controllers, hook it up. You're good. You know? Wi-Fi.
Does it so it will work with whatever controller that you have? Are you saying
that's what I'm assuming? No,
I don't think so. I think they want you to buy their controllers. I don't think
they could do that too. I want to see how they're going to pull that one off. You know, like buy this LG TV plus the Stadia controller, so something like that. Yeah. You know, my point is Stadia, you could use any controller you want so long as it has Bluetooth. Understand? Same thing.
Oh, okay. So you can.
So that's why I said that. That's why I said that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you don't need a dedicated controller.
Amazon
for that.
One.
What happened?
The Amazon one.
Yeah, Adam, you're gonna love this. You know what I actually used for a test when I was playing Project X Cloud? I used the fucking 8-bit Duke controller.
you mean this bad boy?
Yeah, man. Yeah, Manny. As long as you have Bluetooth controller, you're good to go.
Oh, okay. So they're not gonna make you buy any control. No. See, that's the problem that Sony had. they would force you to buy a PlayStation 3 controller.
Yeah, no, they're not doing that. So that's what I'm saying. It's like, so again, this is just me guessing, but I have, you know, I think I'm pretty solid with this. You have a controller that has Bluetooth, you can just play this on your TV and you're good to go. So, you know, because the TV obviously has Bluetooth too, so you'll be good to go. Mm-hmm. Because that's the whole thing with these streaming apps. They want to make the barrier for entry, you know, not as bad.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. Like, the more things that you have in the way of getting in the way of you actually getting to your games, the more people lose sort of interest. You just ought to be able to turn it on and get it to work.
Yeah, again, Stadia has a controller, but you don't need that controller to play your games. You can use an Xbox controller. You can use whatever, as long as it has a Bluetooth. Or if you have it on PC, just plug it into your PC and you're good to go. You know?
Okay.
So there you go, man. Interesting stuff. And the last story here, I threw this in here for Chris. He wants to talk about this. So Ghost of Tsushima fans, they crowdfunded repairs to a real-life shrine on Tsushima Island. It's pretty cool. So, Chris, tell us about the story.
Yeah, I don't know what fans set this up. They just set up like a GoFundMe, and it's like, hey, you love this game, so this shrine on the actual island is rotted, right? I mean, it's been in disrepair for hundreds of years. They're like, hey, obsession with you love the game. Why not throw some money, and we'll pay and get a crew out there to fix it up? You know, they raised like $250,000 in a few days.
Yeah, $260,000. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's nuts. Like, just the groundswell of support. Like, people love this game so much that they were willing to throw money to fix up something that's in the game that's hundreds of years old. It's like, hey, let's fix this shit up for real.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And restore it.
So, right here, I'm looking at this from GameSpot. So, it's called the Watatsumi Shrine in Tsushima. The original goal was they wanted to raise $47,500. They raised $250,000, you know, which is fucking incredible. So, that's cool, man. You know, I wish more gamers could do shit like that instead of bickering on Twitter all day, you know?
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. All right, man. What have we been playing lately? I'm going to go first this time, people. Because I want to talk about Scott Pilgrim versus the World, the game, right?
So, oh, shit, it's back.
Yeah, so for you guys who don't know, back in 2010, to coincide with the movie, right, they released Scott Pilgrim, the World, the game, based on the comic by Brian Lee O'Malley, right? Really fun beat-em-up game, side-scrolling beat-em-up game. And by the way, I didn't learn this. I had to do my research and stuff. Yeah, River City Ransom, River City Double Ransom. Dragon, Inspiration. I didn't know this. The game was actually made under like Super Crunch. Like they just had to rush it, and the game came out fantastic. What was cool about the game was like it had like RPG elements. Like you couldn't just beat your way through the entire game from beginning to end. You're gonna get your ass kicked. You got to grind and shit, get better, stronger equipment and stuff. And you know, for whatever reason, even till now, we don't know the reason they pulled it. We just assume it's licensing deal. Probably that's what it is. But they pulled the game for a bunch of years, but now Ubisoft brought it back for all the modern consoles. You know, obviously there's no PS5 version, but you can play your PS4 version on it. And I reviewed the game for PC Mag. If you go to PC Mag right now, my review is up. I gave it a 4 out of 5. Game's fucking awesome. It's just as good as I remember it. They didn't really add anything to it, but you kind of don't need anything to it. It's as good as it is. And dude, oh man, I forgot how good that fucking music is. That shit drills into your ear. The Anamanaguchi shit, you know? By the way, I didn't know
I didn't know
Anamanaguchi was a New York based band, which is pretty cool.
Yep.
But yeah, the game's dope. You know, I'll probably buy it on PS5 just so I could play with you guys, you know. But yeah, it's good stuff, man. I enjoyed it a lot. So I played that, and I'm still kind of messing around with Assassin's Creed. I beat the game, but like whenever I'm like, hey, I don't have anything to do for an hour, let me put on like a Neil deGrasse Tyson fucking lecture and just do some collecting in Assassin's Creed. So I've been doing that, and that's pretty much it. I'm kind of taking a slight game break right now because as much as I like Valhalla, the game kind of broke me. It was like, yo, fucking took forever, you know. I don't know how it is with you guys, but when I know I'm reaching the end of a game, I go extra crazy, push everything aside just so I can beat it, you know, get to the end. But yeah, good stuff. But yeah, Scott Pilgrim, go buy it. It's fucking awesome. All right, Adam, what have you been playing lately?
Batman Arkham Asylum and Super Mario Maker.
That's
what I'm playing right now. It's like, and yeah, that's it, pretty much it. I've been just that, and well, some of the Marvel the Miles one.
Oh, Miles Morales.
Yeah, but his voice is fucking annoying, man.
Hey, guys.
I try, and it's a point that I felt like I put on the Spotify. The PS5 has that great integration with Spotify now, and I just listen to music. I can't hear his fucking voice.
You know, even you know how we complain about the Spanish that he does. even his English voice, his English is annoying.
It's just so annoying.
Carlos wants the Japanese voice. The fucking
song. Yo, God damn it, Tony, you stole my joke, man. I was about to say, yo, man, I prefer the fucking sub, man.
You know?
Man.
What do Spider-Man, though?
Can't.
Miles Morales. Oh, man. I'm surprised by you, Adam. You usually play more games, man.
Yeah, well, this week. Remember last week, I was playing all kinds of things. Because I finished a UFC game. That's all done. And then I just kept trying to put some time into the Batman, the Return to Arkham, that collection, the upgraded one. And I forgot how many damn puzzles are in that shit.
Oh, the Riddler shit, man.
Oh, well, but then the Riddler, just like going into a room and then you have to try to, with your own version of navigation with all the tools that you have, Batman with his zip line and all that. For example, right now I'm up to the part where Poison Ivy. And I'm trying to figure out how to get from point A to point B, you know, because there's all this smog or whatever, that gas at the bottom, so I can't touch the floor. So you're always doing detective mode and going into that. But that's pretty much it. And now I want to play some Division because, you know, you brought it up.
Yeah.
And it's like, do that whole thing. And that's it. And over at the Coalition, we have someone that's doing the Scott Pilgrim. He's doing on Switch. So
nice.
Yep. So that should be up there too. And that is pretty much it. Yeah, those are the two games I've been playing. Not a lot.
Good stuff. Manny.
I was actually, I think I might have said this before, but I was looking for, I had just finished getting the Platinum in Black Sad, the game. Good story to that game, but my God, if you want to know a game that's friggin' constantly crashing, more than fucking Cyberpunk, more than any game that I've ever played, that game is it. Black Sad, the game. Game, good story, but goddamn, fucking murder to get that to get the platinum in that game. But anyway, after playing I think I played an open world game before that, with the Miles Morales, I wanted something a little more simpler, so I just looked in the old archives and I pulled out Tearaway Unfolded. So I actually finished the game already. Now it's just like cleanup. Just like a couple of more, you know, get the collectibles in a certain level, do some little challenges, and there you go. I actually did get the platinum on Tearaway on the PlayStation Vita. Oh man, would that be like 8 years ago?
20 years ago.
Yeah, like Tearaway came out in 2012.
Tearaway came out in 2013.
1884.
Yeah, 2013 was about the time when I got my Vita. So to get that, and then I'm just gonna see what I'll play next. Maybe I was thinking about Rhyme because I got that from the PlayStation Plus a while ago. So I guess you could say I'm going through some backlog. I don't know, but I want some more simpler experiences, not these sort of heavy duty open world games or, you know, games that have too much plot to them, just enough plot to get you along. So there you go.
There you go, man. All right, Carlos.
So I've been playing Heroes of the Storm.
What? You're back?
Oh no, I've never. I've been back for a year now.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I've been playing Heroes of the Storm. I've been playing GTA with the fellas.
That's right.
Yeah, you know? We played some GTA.
Yeah, played some GTA, man. We went back on that shit.
That shit was crazy, man. Fucking, you know, me and Tony we were battling this one guy that wouldn't freaking stop killing us. Chris was doing freaking 007 shit in the background, getting submarines and shit. It's crazy, man. It's a lot of fun. And I started playing, what's it called? I want to save this actually because I just barely started it.
Uh-oh.
But it's gonna make Riku really happy.
Oh, he's gonna be happy just because of the fact you're playing games. He hit me up the other day. He was like, I always get so to the point when Carlos says he only plays chess and Heroes of the Storm. So
yeah, he sent me the same thing. I started playing Legend of Heroes, Trails of the Sky.
Mm-hmm. Oh shit.
What? started that today.
Wow. Riku-san won.
Yo, man, I don't want to tell him, though. I want it to be a surprise, right. But, you know, oh, in this segment, listen, I got
to
fill
it up. He listens to Throwdown, so don't tell him shit. He'll hear this. Riku, there you go, man.
Riku, I just started, so it's I barely got through anything. I just went through the first, you know, cutscene, the title screen, and I saved the game, and I'm like, all right, got to go back to work.
Oh, shit.
But, yeah, started it.
Here, wait, you heard that? You heard that? That was Riku just sprinting on his drink because he just heard that.
He spit up his drink. He sneezed.
Like, yeah, he's like, oh, Lord.
He's listening to the shit on his Vita.
Yeah, he is. That's right. Oh, man.
Shout out to Riku, man.
You know, Brett.
I've been playing GTA. Yes. And, you know, with the guys, it's cool. Now I'm, man, I've got to get me an oppressor, so I've been grinding it out a little bit. Let's see. I've also been playing Assassin's Creed.
How are you looking at Assassin's Creed, man?
What's that? I'm loving it, dude. It's my favorite Assassin's Creed since Black Flag.
Wow.
Valhalla, right? I'm assuming.
Yeah. Dude, it's a bunch of awesome stuff. Yeah.
Valhalla's a good game.
I was concerned at first that, like, you know, no ship-to-ship combat was going to be an issue, but I think I said this before. You're kind of confined to rivers and shores, so it's not really, you know, an opportunity to do it, and that's actually how longboats work, so I can't bitch. It's got flighting in it, which is fucking awesome. It's not hammering the Assassin's Creed thing down your throat. It was kind of like a Black Flag where, you know, the assassins are kind of ancillary to the story. They're there and they help, and it's a thing, but that's not really, it's more about a guy. And I kind of like that about the Assassin's Creed series. And the first ones, and, you know, like being introduced to the Brotherhood, it's cool, but if you just keep hammering on that same place, it's going to be a dead horse real fast. So I like they take breaks and they kind of expand into, you know, side tales that, you know, only briefly kind of hit into the Assassin's Brotherhood kind of thing. So,
hey, Brett,
loving the story, even though I can't tell you what it's about.
Hmm.
Hey, Brett.
Yo,
did you see the deal that had the last three Assassin's Creed in a bundle for like 60 something bucks?
Yeah, I wasn't. I had already bought the game by then, and I wasn't. I don't want to go back to Origins. I played Odyssey a little bit. It feels the same. Like, I played Odyssey a little bit too, and I'm like, yeah, man, this just feels like yet another Assassin's Creed game. It just felt very blank and boring to me. This one feels like it has more personality. And I want to say that maybe they're taking a turn in the franchise where they're trying to connect with it a little bit differently, and it's not just a story about organization, but more of a story about people. But, you know, they did Black Flag and they went back to formula. So who the fuck knows? The thing about Origins that really got me is, like, assassins in Egypt, like, you guys get a little bit fucking weird now. Like, you've already dictated when the Brotherhood started. So it's going to be really hard to go back before that. And some of the alien shit, some of the ancient shit, it just, I think it's cool to have a little bit of, some kind of paranormal thing or some kind of alien thing. Like, yeah, sure. But, like, I don't know. They're hitting on it real hard in the last couple games I've played. It's starting to feel like a Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull kind of thing.
But didn't they put that in the Ezio games already?
Yeah, yeah. By the way, get ready, Brett, because if you're talking about the ancients, right? This Valhalla goes in on that too. You know,
I know it does. I know it does. But yeah, the ancient thing, I haven't. The ancients thing seems like a weird story, and I don't know how it connects. I like the elements of it, but the execution of it a lot of times, I'm just like, what the? Okay, so we've already talked to the ancients, and, you know, avoided a giant fucking apocalypse. The fuck else is there to do here? It doesn't really seem like much, so just personal qualms, man. The Assassin's Creed series is always pretty solid. I think every once in a while they make a game that's a little bit better.
Do you think that also it might be the fact that you have a bit more interest in Norse mythology than maybe Egyptian mythology?
You know, that's weird because I do love Norse mythology, but I also think Egyptian mythology is kind of fascinating. And I love, like, Greek, Roman, Sparta kind of stuff. So each of them, like, you know, on hearing it, you're like, yeah. And then after it sits with you for a minute, you're like, I don't know. And I would really like a story about the proto assassins. I mean, in the first Assassin's Creed, you had the master, right? And like, who the fuck knows where his knowledge came from? Maybe he came away from a splintered and faction failed assassins group that existed before that. You can go before that and say like, oh, this actually, you know, was a precursor to the first game. You know, that's where he got the golden apple from. Okay, cool. You're making a proper prequel. And now I'm actually kind of interested to see how far back it goes. But the fact they definitively made here's where the assassins started, and then there were people fucking around with the ancients before that, I guess, and just, you know, using very similar tactics and very similar weapons, it just, that part I just like to pretend doesn't exist, to be really honest.
Interesting. Yeah, by the way, on that topic, again, I like Valhalla, but the thing is, I like the previous two games more just because of the fact that I connect more with ancient Egypt and ancient Greece than I do, like, early medieval England. I don't really have any, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, growing up, I didn't care about that stuff. Like, I like the Greek myths. I like the Egyptian shit. England shit. I'm like, I don't really care for this. And then here, this is going to sound weird. I don't care about Viking history, but I like Norse mythology. So I like the Norse mythology stuff, but the Viking stuff, I'm like, I don't care about Northern pirates. It's just me. That's just me. You know, if you like.
Okay, no. What is the difference?
What do you mean?
I mean, Norse mythology was like what the Vikings were like. Are you saying you don't like the historical Vikings, but you find the mythology fascinating?
Yes. Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. I can say, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, they were cold water pirates, man.
Yeah.
They fucking conquered the world.
Yeah. No, I understand. But the thing is, I don't, with the exception of Black Flag, I'm like, I don't really care about pirate stories either, you know? So this game is not connecting with me as like, because again, like every inch of like Odyssey, I'm like, I know what this is. I know what that is. I know what that is, you know? And, you know, this one is like, okay, it's England. Everything looks like it's from The Hobbit here. You know, but it's cool. It's a good game. It's a good game.
Here's one of the things I love about it, though.
Yeah,
like it's you are so not the good guy. Like that's you're somewhere in between. Like you'd be like, yeah, I'm gonna help the world. I'm gonna hop back in my boat. Who wants to burn down a village? Let's go burn down a village for funsies. I love raiding. It's,
yeah. By the way,
awesome.
Brett, I want to get your take on it because my problem with raiding is, like, I'm a Viking. Let me kill civilians. That's the whole point of this shit. You know, like I accidentally kill a civilian. Don't kill any more civilians. You're gonna desynchronize. I'm like, I'm a Viking. This is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to rape and kill.
You're not a Viking. You're not a Viking. You're a guy playing a game. Yeah, that's what you're doing.
That is true. You know, I'm like, I want to fucking rape and pillage, man. That's what I'm supposed to be doing here. You know?
Yeah, that part's honestly overblown, man. Like, Vikings had kind of a very, I don't want to say honor, but it was like a fight honor. So, like, if you start killing people, like, you don't kill an unarmed person because it's disgraceful. Kind of in the same note that, like,
you just enslaved them.
Yeah, they didn't take any slaves after raids in this game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That wasn't the thing, but they should have.
Yeah, okay, so I'll give you no killing civilians, I get that, but like, I should enslave them at least, right? I just think the Vikings in this game are a little too nice, you know? But the thing is, but everybody talks about them like there's these evil monsters, including themselves. I'm like, so which is it? My actions are not congruent.
The Vikings weren't actually evil monsters, though.
We don't have any real info on them from the French and the English because
and obviously they would portray, but
exactly. No,
but the thing is, like, the way they're talked about in the game and the way they even talk to themselves, like they're these bloodthirsty Viking, you know, like warriors and shit. But then your actions in the game aren't really gelling with that.
No, historically, this is the weird part. Historically, being written about the Vikings, they were either irritated but kind of understandable, or they actually like wrote positive reviews. Not positive reviews. Sorry, there's the fucking DoorDash guy. Got me confused. They wrote positive things about them. Like, we came and were conquered by these strong, glorious looking people. And this wasn't that they were subjugated, because the Vikings had already left. They'll just be like, did you see those beautiful conquerors? Like, they make weird notes to how big and how attractive these people are. And then, oftentimes, they're like, hey, you know, so instead of raiding us, you want to, like, come live here? And they brought it in, which is why we have so many, like, English words and Norse words, like sick and ill.
Yeah, but that was because
a lot of times
they
didn't come in and crash.
Yeah, but what they did, though. They rolled in and to take over England. That was their whole goal. Yeah, yeah. It's like, we're going to take over this motherfucker, which they almost pretty much did, you know?
No, I know, but every time they took over places, It turns out the people seem to be happy to have them there. It's fucking weird.
Yeah, that is kind of crazy.
It's an irony that you're like,
Normandy,
yes.
Normandy is Northman's land. That's what the French gave them.
Yeah, Normandy, yeah. Yeah. No, but the thing is, like, when we're not going to give you guys a history of this. But, again, a little qualms. I still like the game. I still think it's good. You could tell there's some embellishment, but it's Assassin's Creed. What are you going to do?
Well, of course. Yeah, yeah.
You know? But it's a good game.
The most part, it's pretty historically accurate, actually. Like, yeah. I was kind of expecting, and that's one of the reasons I do like it, Tony, because I was kind of expecting going and be like, Viking, and start smashing stuff. But they actually, like the fact they included flighting just makes me so happy.
Rap battles, by the way, people. Just so you know.
Yeah. Viking rap battles. They invented them in, like, the 5th century, man. And it was a thing among Vikings to, like, you know, show that they had intellect and wit as well as brute strength. And they actually showcased this a lot. They civilized the Vikings a lot because, honestly, the Vikings were more like that. So I appreciate the kind of accurate history that it gives a little bit. As opposed to being like, they're big guys with the horns that came in and raped everybody. Like, yeah, well, that's not really how it went a lot of times, but sure.
Not nice.
Yeah, right. I kind of wanted that, though. But, yeah, if it's more historical accurate, that's fine, you know?
You got to watch Vikings. You got to watch Vikings, Tony, because it's more accurate than most
things. Dude, yeah, Vikings is great.
What's up with you, Adam? You've been promoting this show for the past 2 months, man. What's going on?
Years, but it's because it's on the payroll. This is it. It just ended.
Yeah, I'll back Adam up. The show is dope, and it teaches you a lot about Viking culture and history and prominent historical figures. Like, they have Ivar the Boneless in there. Like, not many people talk about Ivar the Boneless.
Exactly.
He's in the game.
He's in the game, but as Adam had pointed out before, like, he's not boneless because he's like a snake in the reeds. He's Ivar the Boneless because he's crippled, and people carry him around.
Yeah.
Yeah, not in the game, though. You know? It's funny, Ivar, he's the stereotypical Viking in the game, you know?
Stereotypical, yes, but... not the actual historically accurate version of a Viking.
Yeah. Watch Vinland Saga.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole of Vinland Saga. Because I heard they didn't even go to Vinland in that show, do they? I'm like, what? The whole show?
Well, the show, there's only one season.
Okay, so do they go to Vinland at least?
I have not in the first season.
Okay, all right. Because I'm like, if it's all Vinland Saga, you should be in Vinland, you know? anyway, who was I up to? Oh, Brian. What games have you been playing lately?
I've been playing a whole lot of nothing.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
You've become the new Carlos, man.
Wait, Brian, you become the new me, man?
I'm not that bad. Hold on.
Whoa. All right, listen. I play Heroes of the Storm.
You play, like, the cutscene. Oh, sorry. Did you even play up to the title card of the Trials game or not?
Yeah.
Okay, that's far. But still, like, dude. Like... I actually was getting on the same wave as Riku here because I'm like, Carlos says that he plays games, but all I'm hearing is that like he plays them for like an hour and a half and then that's it. It's like, is he actually? Come on! Like,
I play
myself that they need to get back into like Demon Souls, and you haven't even beat the first boss yet.
Wait, what's up with that?
Carlos, they're calling you out.
Hold on! Let's go. You want receipts? There's two 4-hour streams last week of me playing Grand Theft Auto for like 3-4 hours.
Oh, I don't care about that. When did we do Dark Souls, Demon Souls?
Well, we're playing GTA, so we couldn't play Dark Souls.
We could do Demon Souls.
We'll do it tomorrow if you want.
I don't know. I feel a little bit offended now.
Yo, man. Someone's got to step up for myself. And
hey, I ain't saying you're playing games. I'm just saying, like, I thought we were playing Demon Souls. Like, I just realized, I was like, wait a minute, you have been fucking absent from that whole thing, have you? Like, we all rolled through as a party.
Well, because
Carlos was in Korea, man. What's up with that? It's okay.
Well, you forgot. I didn't have a PS5 for the first 2 weeks.
That is true.
And that's not your fault.
It was fucking Walmart's fault and Jim Ryan.
For what it's worth, I waited for you for those 2 weeks. I just hung around low levels in Demon Souls.
Mm. Chris is like, I'm gonna play the game six times and make it so I can never play the game ever again.
Carlos, while I was waiting for you, I am one ring away from a platinum.
Oh, right? Shit!
Get on it.
Damn. Tomorrow, man.
There you go. You guys are
the one ring to rule them all.
All right. So, Brian, nothing for you right now then?
Nah, nothing. Again, it's a solid year. It's always very quiet for me because I like to just chill out, watch some animes, read some mangas, see people get stomped on. Carlos knows what I mean.
Uh-oh.
Yo, man, that last episode of... Did you see the last episode of Attack on Titan? God damn, man.
We're not going to go down a rabbit hole. Manga-may, you know?
And the manga.
Someone catches those feet. That's all I'm saying.
Yo, man.
All right.
I almost cried, man.
Damn.
That shit, yo, man.
Did they start this back up? You're talking about the end of last season.
They're talking about the manga right now.
Oh, pfft.
What's this reading?
Anime
reading? Bunch of nerds.
I ain't got time for that shit.
He's like, I can't read and work at the same time, season. Damn it.
All right, Chris, man, what you been playing lately?
All right, so, I mean, we've been playing GTA 5.
GTA, man. What are your thoughts on going back to GTA? Because I felt it was very quaint, the graphics now, you know?
It's cute.
Absolutely, and it's nice to know. Eight years in, the game is still broken.
Yeah, Brett was having some issues, Brett. I was having some issues too. As a matter of fact, I couldn't log into the shit. You know, I couldn't even log in.
Yo, Adam, when he got on the submarine, he exited.
I'm still trying to figure out Adam went to somebody else's submarine.
Oh, we don't see you.
No, but you can't think about it. When we look at the sub is already surface. It's never underwater. It's never submerged. So it's like, I went up and actually, no, it says I died and drowned.
You know, you shouldn't be able to open the door to the sub.
It shouldn't even give you the option.
Submerged or something like that.
When you play with Adam, it's never like boring. Like my favorite part was like Chris rolls up right next to Adam on his car. He's like, "Yo, Adam, I'm here." He's like, "Where you at? We're on the map." I'm like, "I'm literally right here, parked in front of you, Adam."
You were fucking see. I was leaning.
It's not like it was like this freaking like huge city full of NPCs and cars and stuff. It was the fucking beach. It's like
at the beach. I was hiding behind a rock. I'm surprised that when he said, "I'm behind you," I'm like, "That's impossible. There's water behind me."
It took Chris like 10 hours to find a basement. He had lasers. God,
the fucking mission. Yeah. Oh yeah, I bought the Republican Space Ranger guns. Those are fun, yeah. Laser guns.
That shit was crazy.
We did finish the Caio Perico shit. Me, you, Brett, and my cousin. We did.
That's right.
That
we finished the heist, yeah.
You
know,
so yeah, I just want to say,
oh, you finished it?
We finished it exactly the way that you think that we would. I tried to sneak in and then Tony started hail firing everywhere.
It's true. This is what I do.
Yep. As it always is. It always shall be.
To be fair, though, we were almost done, right? We stealthed the whole thing, but I was shooting every camera I saw. I didn't realize that if you shoot every camera, the alarms would go off. So when I shot the last camera, alarm went off. And then I got fucking killed. I lost like half the money and shit. Man, embarrassing, you know? I wasn't even there during the cutscene, you know? I was dead.
And Brett, to be fair, I watched a couple of playthroughs with guys getting max money on the heist. None of them do stealth. They shoot their way on the island, shoot their way in the compound, shoot their way out. None of them did
really?
Stealth.
The island.
I finished one by myself, and when you solo it, I got $1.4 million.
Nice.
Yeah, the solo one's pretty good, but I saw a guy, he did the long fin entry on the dock, and he just shot his way on the island. He just blew away everyone, got the weed, got the cocaine, and he just bolted out. I was like, holy shit. He did not do stealth nothing. He just shot his way on the island.
Yeah, so when we do it again, I want to go with the heavier armaments, you know?
Yeah.
Murder.
Oh, yeah, shotguns.
Yeah. Dude, my cousin, he was begging, like, can I please shoot this motherfucker? Oh, man, good stuff. Yeah, again, as janky
I'm
as
sure,
it is,
I'm,
as,
I'm
as
sure
quaint,
now he's,
yeah, what happened?
I'm sure now since we know that you get max money by just literally going all guns blazing, he's going to probably be like,
be happy,
man, you motherfuckers didn't let me do that shit.
but
do it again. We can shoot all we want.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but, you know, GTA is still fun after all these years, man. after all. Even though it's still buggy as fuck, though, but, you know, Rockstar, they're making their money, so I don't give a fuck.
I mean, you can't wait for that PlayStation 5 version.
I want to know what it's going to look like. It's probably going to look like the PC version, you know? Because I'm like, yeah, and it was, you have, there's that weird spot where you're like, oh, what the fuck? Because it's 30 frames a second, you know? You're so used to games being at 60 now. But, you know, you get used to it fast. Good stuff, man. All right, so that's going to do it for another episode of Throwdown. Guys out there, make sure you follow us on the Twitters and Twitch and subscribe on YouTube and join the Discord where it is always popping. Mob hits will hit you with them rumors, man. You know? You can find always over and down. Always, man. It's like, yo, where's he finding this stuff? You know?
Just looking, man.
Yeah, you can find us on any podcast app by searching for Throwdown Show, and you can visit throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. Links to everything are located in the description below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
So, see you later, guys. By the way, if you look at our featured image, there's some hidden codes in there. Can you figure out what they mean?
Hey, you know what? If you figure it out, we'll send you a $20 card of something. There you go.
Yeah, we'll send you a $20 card if you can figure out the hidden
PSN messages or Xbox, whatever you want.
On the cyberpunk image, a la what a CD Projekt Red with their hidden codes.
Yeah, so there you go, people. All right, Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Adam Vale.
Weekend, people.
Brett Murdoch. It's been real, party people.
This is...
Yeah, I said deuces.
And Brian Mangioma.
This whole EA and Star Wars thing shows you that EA just cannot be trusted to do anything right.
Oh, man. Where's Burnout, man? Where's Burnout? You know? All right, people. We'll see you on Sunday. Later.
Later, guys.
Peace.
See you.